hold y'all's pastor, Brother Ronnie, in the highest regards. He mentioned Dr. Rogers being one of the great men of God. I think this right here is one of the great men of God. Also, my wife may not hold him as high regard as I do. He married us. She may have more animosity towards him. I don't know. But it is a privilege to be here this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 73. Psalm chapter 73. I was telling Brother Derek Finley a minute ago as we were sitting there, I come to hear some good preaching this morning and be ministered to, but this is, Lord gave me this to share if opportunity arose. I had shared this a while back, and maybe even at the Institute one night when the opportunity was given. We all go through difficulties sometime, amen? And there's all times there's troubles along life's way. But I believe what the key is how we look at it. We can take things with the right perspective, and it can turn out to be a blessing instead of a burden. Often we begin to look through things through the eyes of the flesh, and things become bigger than they have to be. But if we'll look at things through the eyes of faith, they can be a blessing instead of a hindrance. Here in the book of Psalm, chapter 73, the psalmist went through some occurrence in his life where he had a difficulty. What that is, I don't know for sure, but it was a problem that overwhelmed him. And he began to look at things the wrong way, and it began to get his heart discouraged. You ever been there? When we're discouraged, we're not too good for nobody, much less ourselves. But the psalmist here had to get encouraged, and God himself did that for him. And I want to tell you today, if you're here carrying that burden and you're discouraged, if you'll turn to the Calvary, turn to the cross of Calvary, you'll find encouragement today, and it will change your focus. It'll change your perspective. It'll change how you look at things. Here in the book of Psalm 73, for text this morning, we'll read the first five verses and then look down at verse 17. But we will look at more verses in this chapter later on. The Bible said in Psalm 73, starting in verse number 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Look down with me, if you will, at verse 17, the turning point of the chapter. The psalmist said here, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." Let's pray this morning, if you will. Lord, thank you for the day, for the privilege of being in your house. And God, I pray you use this time this morning to honor and glorify yourself. And Lord, I pray you bless your word. And I pray, God, you'd bless now your servant, that I might be faithful to what you have said today. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for all you've done. But Lord, most of all this morning, I sure thank you for the cross at Calvary and your Son, our Savior, who was willing to go there, shed his life's blood that we might have life and have it everlasting. And God, I pray this morning that you'd use this time to honor and glorify yourself. In Jesus' sweet name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Here in the psalm, the psalmist began to go through life, and he began to see things. That trouble had come into his life, and he began to look at the things of the way the world did things. He began to look at the wickedness of the world and began to look at the prosperity of the wicked, and his heart began to melt within him. And I'm sure he almost began to say something like this: "Well, here I am trying to serve God, and it seemed like everything under the sun that can go wrong does go wrong." You ever been there? And it says, "Look over here at my brother who lives wicked, who isn't trying to serve God, maybe not even acknowledging the presence of God, and here he is, seems like everything he does prospers." And he began to say, "It just isn't fair." Well, I want to tell you this morning, God never promised that life would be fair. He never said that everything would always work out the way we want it to work out. He never said things would always make sense to you and I. But he did say that all things would work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. And I thank God for that today, that we don't have to wonder whether God's in control or wonder whether God knows what he's doing. I'm glad today that we can boldly say and boldly believe that God's on his throne and God's in control of all things, and he will bring things about the way he sees fit. The psalmist here, we'll notice a few things about him. First of all, the discouragement of the servant. As you read these verses, it's very evident to me and you also that he was very discouraged. He began to look at things in the wrong way. He began to look at things through the eyes of the flesh, and his heart began to turn even against God in a sense. He began to get envious of how the world was seen to be blessed. I want to tell you today, Satan will also bless you if you'll live for him.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Now, he has come with attachments, and he has come with things that will haunt you down the road, but he'll bless your heart if you will serve him. I've had people tell me in my first pastorate, they had this business, and they were open 7 days a week. And I went and told them one day, I said, you know what? God will bless you if you'd honor God and close that on Sunday and work 6 days a week. But Brother Lee, they've got to get here to certain... Well, I said, if you'll be open, they'll come when you open. Oh, we can't do that. But God's blessing us. And I said, the devil will bless you also. Now, you know what? It's better to honor God. And God will bless. Now, it may not be according to the world economy. That's okay. But he will bless. And here the psalmist was discouraged because he saw how the world was prospering seemingly. Let's see a few things about the discouragement. First of all, he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verses 3 and verse 12. We read verse 3. Look at verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Seem like the big get bigger. And the little get littler. The rich get richer. The poor get poorer. And it seems like the more you live for God monetarily, it seems like in our world we're not paid attention to. We seem to struggle. That's okay, because I'm not taking anything in this world materially with me anyway. It's all going to pass away. It's all not going to matter. God's always been faithful. There's never been a need that I had in my life that he has not met. There's never been a bill I had to pay that he couldn't help me get it paid. There's never been a time there was not a roof over my head or food on my table or clothes on my back. God's always been faithful, and I just believe he's going to continue to be faithful. The prosperity of the wicked. He even noticed the pride of the wicked. They begin to brag and boast and almost shake their finger in the face of God. Verse number 8, he says, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They brag about their sin. They boast about the evilness that they do. If you listen on our TV, you listen in our papers and our radio, you hear continually folks bragging about sin. Oh, let me tell you, one day that bragging's going to stop. One day all that boasting's going to stop, and one day they're going to fall on a knee before God Almighty and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it will not be a time for bragging about what you've done. It'll be a time of crying out for mercy. But sadly, it'll be too late. You'll also see the perversion of the wicked in verse number 9. So they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. They begin to talk about the God and talk about the things of God. They begin to try to belittle and destroy the things of God. I got angry the other night sitting and watching my TV. I watched Friday night just for a few moments. I'd seen it advertised about this Dateline special they wanted to have on about the trying to explain the nativity and the birth of Christ. One of those so-called smart folks on there, and I want to use that term very loosely, said that that was not a true depiction. It was a parable about what God was teaching. Well, let me tell you, if that part's not true, there ain't anything in this book not that's true. And if we can't believe that, we can't believe any of it. And the world can try to pick, and the world can try to tear down, but the Word of God, the things of God, shall stand forever just like they are. The pain from the wicked. The psalmist was in pain from what was going on in verse number 16. He says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was too hard to handle. It was more than I could understand. It was more than I could carry. And you know what? If we worry about the things out there, and if we focus on the things of the world, it gets painful for us, and it gets hard for us, and our bodies aren't equipped, our minds, our emotions, our struggles. We can't handle that, but thank God today there is one who is able to handle all we can give him and a whole lot more. So we see the discouragement of the servant. You'll also see, and I believe the most important verse of the chapter was at verse 17. You'll see the discovery of the servant. He in verses 17 through 18 had a discovery in his life. You know what? The only reason he discovered something is because God revealed something to him. But you know what? If you'll ever come before God, you'll discover some things also. And you know what the psalmist had to discover? For one, I believe with all my heart, he had to discover that he couldn't take care of what they did, but he could take care of what he had to do in his life. I got enough wrong with me. I can't worry about you. I got enough to take care of in my home that I can't worry about what goes on in your place. Now, I love you. I care for you and want to see God bless you. But my first responsibility is to make sure my life is right with God. And I've learned the more I focus on trying to keep myself right, y'all look a whole lot better. The discovery of the servant. And I want you to see about that. The place of the discouragement, of the discovery, excuse me, where was it? In the sanctuary of God. when he came to the house of God, God showed him some things. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lovely place that I love to go to every chance I get. That's the house of God. Whether it be there where I pastor at Harmony, whether it be here at Unity, and I'll say this, whether it be on Thursday night to Enville Baptist Church to sit and listen to good sound Bible teaching, whenever I have opportunity to be in a house of God, I long for that. You know why? There's a place of discovery. There's a place of revelation. There's a place that God can show us some things. And I'm glad today that God's still in the revealing business. He's still just letting us discover things about Him. It's also, you'll find about the discouragement of the servant, he noticed the punishment of the sinful or the wicked. At the end of verse 17, he said, then understood I therein. God said, they seem to be prospering now, but I believe, I won't call his name, but I believe I've heard a wise pastor say that word but means forget everything I've told you. Now I'm going to tell you what I really want you to know. He said, you've seen all this, but here's the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the story. They may seem to be prospering now. Oh, but one day they trade it all for what we've got. One day they trade it all to be where we're going to be. And we might endure a little suffering now. But praise God, one day we'll get to enjoy the dear glories of God. But those that are wicked, they don't enjoy that. They'll enjoy the wrath of God. I'll enjoy and endure the wrath of God. And he even saw and discovered the plan of God. Verse number 18 says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. He said, God, you've already got things worked out. You've already prepared their end. You've already made the work possible. And it's going to take place because of their wicked perversion against you. You've put their feet on slippery slopes. I don't know about you, but that tells me they're pretty fixing to fall. Pretty near fitting to fall. Their feet's going to fly off from under them, and they're going to fall flat on their face. You know why? Because they're dependent upon self. They're dependent upon man and not dependent upon the only begotten Son of God. So we see the discovery of the discouragement of the servant, the discovery of the servant. Thirdly, and I pray this, if you're discouraged this morning, this is the part I hope God helps you with. The deliverance of the servant. I'm going to tell you what. Until you've been there, you don't understand what that means. Let me say this just in a moment. I've been there. I've been discouraged. I've been to the point that I thought it was, what's the use? About a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, me and my wife, two small children, and we were expecting our third child, pastoring in Calhoun County. And because I tried to stand up for what God said was right, we were voted out. Sunday after Thanksgiving, didn't have a place to go, didn't have nothing. And there was a time that I began to say, why God? But you know what? Now I look back and say, thank you, God. Because if we hadn't been there, I couldn't be where I'm at today. And at the time, it felt like God had turned his back on me. But now I see God was just blessing. And for a while, I began to look at things the wrong way. But now I can see things a whole lot clearer. And God delivered me from that discouragement. God delivered me from wanting to quit and say, son, just keep on going. He gets sweeter every day anyway. The deliverance of the servant. You'll find in these verses. Before then, the deliverance, the first key part is conviction. Look at verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. You know what the psalmist said? That God's Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. He convicted me of my sin. Now the psalmist was focused on everybody else's sin. But here the psalmist is convicted of sinfulness. And before we can get delivered, we got to realize who we are. Before we ever got saved, God had to let us know we was lost. Amen. Through His Holy Spirit. And now that we are saved, before we can get things right with God, His Holy Spirit must convict us of our sinfulness, that we might cry out to God in forgiving and mercy. And God's so faithful to answer. Then there's confession in verse 22. This was my cry. The psalmist said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. The psalmist said, how stupid I was. I should have known better, God. I should have known, God, that was not the way things were. But I was just so foolish. I was so ignorant. But you know what? Before we ever learn anything, we got to realize we don't know anything. The psalmist got here and he realizes that I thought I had it figured out. But God, you showed me. I didn't know anything. I was foolish and ignorant. You know what? Confession is still good for the soul. The deliverance of the servant, there's conviction, confession. In verse 23, you'll see there's some continuation. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. He said, you know what? I may have slipped along the way. I may have messed up in the past. He said, God, I'm just going to stay with you. I'm just going to stay with you, God, the rest of my way. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not focused on anything else. God, I'm just going to stay right here, right beside you, because that's the place for me. He said, even better than that, God, you're holding me up with your right hand. He didn't say, I'm holding on to you, God. He said, God, you're holding on to me with that right hand, that strong hand, that place of honor, that place of respect. God, he said, God, you're holding on to me, and I'm so thankful. He said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. You also see that comfort in the fact that God's a hold to us. You'll find that in verse 23 also. You'll see also in verse 24 the conforming of the servant. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Conforming. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. What's that? That's his word. And the more God guides us, the more we stay in the word of God, the more we're conformed into the image of the only begotten Son of God. The more we're around the things of God, the more we become like the Son of God. I want to tell you, the reason we have a lot of worldly Christians is because they don't spend much time around the good things of God. If you'll stay in the book, if you'll stay in prayer, if you'll stay in the house of God, you will be conforming to the image of the only begotten Son of God. The psalmist said here, I understand. I need some change in my life. But as I stay with you, as you guide me with thy counsel, you'll take care of changing what needs to be changed in my life. And I stand before you today and I confess, there's still conforming in my life that needs to take place. But as long as I stay with God, he'll take care of that. I don't have to let nobody else, or I can't do it myself, but God can and God will if I'll just stay with the Lord. But you know what? The best part of the deliverance of the servants found at the end of verse 24, the consummation. He said, and afterward, receive me into glory. The psalmist said, it's good here. Oh, hallelujah, but it's going to be even better. You know, it's just got a small taste of what's in store. God just let us have a small sample of what he has for us. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe all in the fact we ought to enjoy the things of God here on earth. But we can't enjoy them like we're going to one day. I do believe God expects us to have an abundant life here on earth. I do believe God expects us to have a rich, a bountiful life. I'm not talking about materially. I'm talking about a rich, bountiful life here on earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy all the things of God. But there's some things reserved for us in heaven that right now we can't enjoy. But one day, he said, receive me to your glory. One day you're going to carry me to your home, God. You know what? That's a glorious thing. It's his place, but it's our place too. You know, I don't understand that old song, Beulah Land, how you're homesick for a place you've never been before. Most of the time you're homesick for somewhere you left. I remember several years ago now, I went with Brother Ronnie to London one time. I kind of got homesick for a while and got ready to go back home, but I enjoyed myself, but I was ready to go back to a place that was familiar, a place where my loved ones were, a place where I longed to be. But you know what? I'm longing even more for a day that I'll leave this walk of life and go to a place these feet have never stepped upon, these eyes have never seen, but by faith one day I shall see, I shall step there, and I'll enjoy the very glory of God, because God has prepared that for me and all of his dear children. The deliverance of the servant. Fourthly and lastly, the declaration of the servant. He had some things to say after God delivered him. You know what? When God delivers us, we can't help but praise his name. And that's what he does in the end of this chapter. First of all, the declaration of the servant. He said, you know what, God? He said, God's sovereign. Look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. He realized, he said, God's above all things in heaven. He's above all things in earth. He's just a sovereign, mighty, holy God. I don't desire anything else because he's the best there is to offer. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to eat a good steak. And I'd rather have that than I had a bologna sandwich. Now, bologna will fill you empty spot. But once you tasted steak, why would you want that? Because the steak's a whole lot better. And you know what he's saying? Now that you've tasted of the goodness of God, now that I've tasted of how good and glorious God is, I'm not going to settle for anything less. Hallelujah. God was sovereign. He began to cry out in verse 26. God was his strength. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He said in verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy all them that go a-whoring from thee. You know what he said? God, you're my strength. You're what I depend upon. You're what props me up. You're what keeps me going from day to day. You're the resource I draw from. You're what gives me the strength to take the next step and to keep going for God. Let me tell you, when we get discouraged, we begin depending upon self, depending upon our strength. And that's why we often get further and further and further away from God and more discouraged, because we'll take our eyes off God and focus on the things of the flesh, and we are insufficient. We don't have the means in us to be able to cope, but thank God he is sufficient. He said God was sovereign, God was his strength, and lastly in verse 28 he said God was my safety. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. God was his safety. He said there's a place of refuge I can run to. There's a place of safety I can flee to. And that's right there with the Lord. I tell you what, when we get discouraged, we often lose our confidence in God. We often lose our contentment and commitment to God. But let me tell you today, God's able to deliver you from that. Yeah. But before we'll ever be delivered from that, we've got to acknowledge our problem. Yeah. The psalmist here came into this chapter. He was down in the dumps. He was feeling sorry for himself. He was having a good old pity party.
Yeah, he was.
His life was worse than anybody else's. You ever been there?
Yep. Sure.
But you know what? About midway in this chapter, it flipped around for him. You know what? He began to cry out. I got a pretty good life. God's been good to me. He ain't crying the blues anymore. He's singing the praise. He might have even started on the wrong note, but he sure finished hitting the right note. And I'm going to tell you today, it's good that we have a good start, but you know what? It's best that we finish well. And I pray today that if God can help you through this, if you're struggling, if you're going through a problem, I'm glad to point you to one that is able to help you right where you are.
Amen.